Morning scripture reading is coming from the book of James, starting in the first chapter. We'll read verses 1 through 6. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me, turn to James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave, the sea driven and tossed by the winds.
Can we help people see God? Can we help people see God? Two words. I was listening to a preacher this morning on my way to the hospital to see Katie this morning. Two words as I was listening to a preacher. It said, key words, he said, in the Bible. Key words that mean so much to each one of us. You got them in your head before I tell you what he said. I agree with him. Two key words. Number one is grace. When we think about the Christian life and we think about our life and what our life can be, and that's what I want you to focus on for just a minute this morning, what your life can be, we have to take in account that word grace. What does grace mean to you? For the grace of God hath appeared to all men. That includes each and every one of us, and it lets us know how important we are to God. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So the first point I want us to think about this morning is the grace that we have that causes us or should cause us to be the people that we should be. The second word he used is faith. Two important words he said was grace and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How much faith do you have in your life? How can we have faith in the world that we live today? How can we overcome things in this world today? You know, the grace of God is just unbelievable that God loved us so much that he sent his son to walk on this earth, to go through everything that he went through, and then to die on the cross that we could have that hope of eternal life. That drives us and that pulls us, or at least it should. And the grace that God has extended to us helps us build our faith. Well, how do we get that power? How do we get that power to maintain that faith? Maintain that faith as we live our life and the challenges that we face. And I know that there's people in here this morning that's hurting. There's people that have things in their life they wish were not there. There's people here today that are struggling emotionally. They're struggling at home because of relationships. They may be struggling at home because of finances. There's people here today that are struggling spiritually. Don't know how we're going to go on. Matter of fact, just this last week, I made this statement, and it's embarrassing. I'm not proud of it, but I said, I can't keep doing this. I just can't. I can't keep doing this. because it's just tearing me up. But you know, Charles, in reality, I can. There's points in our life that we get that we say, I can't go on, or I won't go on. I will not continue to do this. It's not worth it to me. But how do we do that? You know, Jesus tells us, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 17 or Matthew chapter 20, when he's talking about faith and the power of faith and how that we can move a mountain. It's one of those two chapters. He talks about how that when we build our faith, and he actually talks about a mustard seed there. So how much faith do we have? How do we have that power that we can move that mountain that may be standing in front of us? Well, let me tell you, first of all, if you're a Christian, you have that power. You have that power because each one of us that is Christians, we have been promised that power. Through the Holy Spirit, we have power that we can overcome things in our life. God did not put us here to fail. God did not put us here where we could not stand and face Satan and overcome Satan. Satan is a great force out there, and he is one that wins many, many battles with a lot of people. But Satan can't win if we stand up to him. Now the problem is, we don't always stand up to him. Because God has given us and equipped us with everything that we need to win. We all want the same thing. We want victory. We want to win, and we don't want to fail, and we want to have that power, and we want to have that faith, and we want to love God because of the grace that he extended to us, and that we can live this life with confidence, knowing that each and every day we're where we're supposed to be. And then when we come to that mountain, Charles, and we're looking up it, and we wonder how we're going to do it, because of our faith is what Jesus says. Because of our faith, we can move that mountain. We can push it out of our way. And we can overcome whatever it may be. You know, that's what's great about being a Christian. We talked a few weeks ago about counting our blessings. You know, we can't sit down, David, and come up with every blessing that we have. It's impossible because we're blessed so great today. But I would say one of the greatest blessings that we have is knowing that we can be faithful to God and that we can be that Christian that we need to be. That's not to say that I'm going to brush my arms off and say, well, I'm done, I'm perfect, I'm going to go on. No, we're all going to strive and struggle from day to day, and we're going to try to be better each and every day that we live. But we can have some confidence. Confidence in my soul, confidence in my where I'm going to spend eternity. You know, one of the worst things is for people to leave this earth unsure. I have been with several people that were dying and passed from this life. And one thing that always bothers me the most when I'm sitting there, I don't say it out loud. I have before because people have wanted to engage and talk to me. But I think about myself when you're watching someone leave this earth. And you think about how will I feel one day when I'm struggling. Just like this person is struggling to get one more breath. The worst thing would be not to be in the right relationship with God. To know that you're about to part from this earth and you're going to stand before your Creator and not have lived according to the Bible says. I've been redeemed. How? I've been redeemed by the power and by the blood of the Lamb. And that should mean something to each one of us in here this morning, because of all the struggles that we can face in this life, we, each one of us that's a Christian, we have been redeemed. Because of sin, because of what we've done in our life, because we're not perfect, we can stand or sit here today and say, I am redeemed. I can have that relationship with God because of His Son, because of that blood that He shed on the cross for my sins. I can have that hope. I don't know why we're not smiling, because that is one of the greatest things that we could ever imagine, is knowing that today I am redeemed. So the question is, can we help people see God? The short answer, and I'm not going to stay with this, Miss Kay, I'm going to go ahead and give you the long one. But the short answer is yes. Yes, each one of us in here this morning can help people see God. You know, when we think about the life that we live, problems. Let's start there this morning. Problems. When you think about problems and you think about the Bible, where do you go? Where do you go when you think about someone who had problems? You know, I've read the book of Job several times. Because whenever you think about someone who persevered, someone who continued to fight the fight, someone who did not give up on life, who do you think about? You think about Job. When we think about the problems that we have, maybe losses that we have in this life, struggles that we have, it carries you back when we start feeling sorry for ourselves, because I do from time to time. I begin to feel sorry for myself. I can go back and I can read about Job, and we can find a man that lost everything but his life. Everything but his life. But he continued. And he chose to persevere. James 5 and verse 11 lets us know that God is aware. He is aware of those who hold fast. Look at chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Talking to someone the other day, I forgot what was even talking about. It might have been Jacob. I don't remember who it was. But I remember thinking, when I went into the Army, when I went to basic training, I was scared the first day I got there, because everybody was screaming, everybody was upset. But I remember thinking to myself, it's just 8 weeks. 8 weeks, I can do this. And matter of fact, they have cadence that you march with. So many more weeks and you're through. And every day I would wake up and say, I'm one day closer to being done with this. And that's really what it means to endure, that I can get through this. This is, as Charlie says, a bump in the road. This is an obstacle that I have in my life, and I have got to be able to see past what I'm going through and see the other side of it. And David, know that I'm going to be okay when I get to the end of this. The one thing that helped me when I was in the Army was all the other people that had went through it and going through it at the same time that I was. And how we get through daily struggles today is knowing that God loves us. Don't forget how we started this lesson, that God loves us so much that when we get through this, as Jay said in his book, that one day my life will give way to victory. When he was writing about his struggles with cancer, he said, there's one thing I do know, that my journey with Christ will never end, and my life one day will give way to victory. And that's how I endure every day the load or the burden that I'm carrying with me. But James says here, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of who? Of Job. So how do we help people see God? It's through our perseverance, that we endure the things that we have in our life. It's not easy to stand there and look with a smile on your face and think to yourself, I enjoy this. Dale read for us in the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. That's tough. That's tough to sit here today with a smile on your face and say, boy, I enjoy all the trouble I have. That's not what he's talking about, though. He's talking about how it changes us. And our faith grows. Look at verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We begin to understand a little more clearly what life is and what we're here for. And we're here to help people see God. The second point I want to mention this morning when we think about helping people see God is not only do we have to persevere, we have to be steadfast. I'm sorry, Steve, I didn't know what your lesson was about this morning before I got here. I normally look over it right before I leave home, and I barely got home to come. But this kind of ties in with Steve's class this morning that he was having. How that we are steadfast, the definition of the word from Webster's, firmly fixed in place. Are you firmly fixed in place this morning? When we think about being steadfast for God, are you firmly fixed in place? It goes on to say, not subject to change. There's too much changing going on today. Wendy went with me yesterday, had to go down the southern part of Tennessee to pick up a couple fire hydrants for one of our customers. And as we were driving down, we got to noticing all the different quote-unquote church buildings. And all the different names that's on the outside of the buildings. And it's just amazing to me how that on this corner you can have one with a name that's you never heard of before. And across the road there's another one. And you get in some of the bigger towns and you think, boy, this is a business. Because they've got million-dollar buildings that they all come together to, quote, unquote, worship. And as Steve brought out this morning in his class, how did we get to that? How did we get to that point? It was through change. And in the definition, it says, not subject to change. Are you subject to change in your life? I don't want to know who anybody voted for at the presidential election. But have you ever known someone that flipped back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, depending on who they were talking to is who they was for? We can't be like that when we're going to help people see God. We've got to be that person that will not change. We do not change the truth. Another definition found in Webster's for steadfast is firm in belief and determination. Job was that way. The whole world, even us today, when we read the book of Job, we're a lot like his friends and his wife. We wonder how he did it, why he did it. Why not just go ahead and curse God and die? Because he was steadfast. This is my course. This is the way that I'm going to travel, and this is the way that I am going to go. Can we help people see God? We certainly can when we stand where we need to stand. When we're that light that we need to be. When we're living that life that we should be living. And I know it's difficult. I know it's a challenge, especially maybe, we say that, and I don't know how much harder it is really for our younger people. I know they're under more peer pressure, but our younger people are challenged today in school and in colleges. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go to church or are we going to do something else? Are we going to worship God the simple way that God laid out? Or are we going to go over here where, as we talked about in class, where it's more contemporary and we have instrumental music and we have entertaining services over here and we feel better about it? Or can we come together and worship God in such a way that's moving within ourselves because of the love that we have for God and our dedication that we have for God? Why can we not feel good about worshiping God? Because we're living that Christian life. And when we come together to worship God, we're humbled because, A, we can approach His throne and we're offering our worship back to Him because of the love that we have for the last week that we've lived on this earth. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge that we continue to stand. Five things before we close this morning I jotted down that I've used here before, and it's not with me. It come from Jay when we talking about how the world can see God, or can we help the world see God. Five things that keeps our life on track that Jay mentioned. He said, number one, understand that life is truly a blessing from God. You know, we need to be reminded of that, don't we? We need to be reminded that life is truly a blessing from God because we get selfish. We get to thinking about, what about Tim? Why can't I do this? I deserve this. I want to do this. And every day that we're on this earth is a blessing. He said, number two, never take a day for granted. Well, we do that, don't we? Not only do we take a day for granted, we do number three, we take people for granted. Because number three on Jay's list is, don't ever take people for granted. Say those important words, I love you. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Build those relationships with each other. Families are being torn apart today for a number of different reasons, and mainly it's because we take each other for granted. Number four, Jay said, understand that this life is preparing you for the next life, and that you have to overcome temptations and obstacles and challenges to gain that victory someday. And then number five, he said, and this is a hard one sometimes, but see the bigger picture. See the bigger picture. Endure. Help people see God by the life that you live. We are living in a time now that people need to see God. They need to see more of God. And the only way that they can see, besides His creation and all that we see in the air that we breathe today, is through Christians. The preacher this morning, I don't know where he was from. I don't know where he was at. I don't know what pulpit he was standing in. But I did listen enough to him that I wanted to add that to the introduction, that those are two very important words, grace and faith. But I think there's one word that ties those together, don't you? It's love. God is love. He loved you so much that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. This morning you have an opportunity to become a child of God, to become a Christian, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You do that through your faith, your willingness to turn away from sin, repent of sin, decide you're going to live that life, that you're going to have that determination, that steadfastness about you, that I'm going to walk away from sin and I'm going to live for God. This morning, can you answer this question? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you can answer that question this morning, then I challenge you, I encourage you, and I pray for you that you will step out of the aisle this morning and walk down the aisle confessing your faith in Jesus and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And at that point, you're going to receive that power that we talked about at the beginning of the lesson. That power to stand, the power that we find in His Word, the power to fight off Satan, and to look him in the eye and say, I am not going to fall to this temptation. I am going to stand for God. And I'm not going to give in. Determination. This morning, if you've been unfaithful to God, you're struggling with something in your life, and we can help in some way, whether it's a prayer or just through encouragement, let it be known. If you need to come, come while we stand and sing.